Man, you leave for 1 week and you miss a plethora of news. You get hit with a bunch of signings. Things start coming into fruition. And then you make one post on Twitter and you get, hockey Twitter. Today's episode is going to be an absolute blast as we get into episode 35 of the Second Thoughts podcast. Let's go. Welcome in and welcome back as the week off of recording episodes is over. We're back into our regular 2 episodes a week schedule here on the Second Thoughts podcast. My name is Kyle Grimard as your host as always. If you'd like to follow along and keep up to date on all of the headlines and stories and news, make sure you follow along to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, wherever you happen to get your podcasts. Thank you very much. If you'd like to leave a rating, subscribe, do anything like that. My New Year's resolution will be to get more guests, but I think once things start to get back into a regular schedule, I will start reaching out and maybe get a couple extra people on here as we move forward. Social media, if you want to give me a follow, at Second Thoughts P on Instagram and Twitter, and Kyle Grimard on Instagram and Twitter as well, if you want to follow along with my my personal accounts. Hopefully you had yourself a fantastic break, a wonderful Christmas. I know this year was very different from most years. If we did a lot of Zoom calls, phone calls, and virtual kind of visits were the way things went about this year, so hopefully you're able to do the same. We did do a couple porch drop-offs and present deliveries and some swaps at front doors, which was very nice. And, you know, you're able to see some family from a very, you know, socially distant availability. But nevertheless, this is going to be, we're going to get right back into it. And, you know, I mentioned it, when you take a little bit of time off, you come back, all of a sudden you get hit with a bunch of news, and the World Juniors are back in action, and the NHL is finalized, Canadian teams were able to play in their own cities, and there's a bunch of signings and PTOs and news, and things are ramping up as the NHL season gets started underway. And the way I looked at the schedule is today we'll skip the divisional breakdowns. So we'll start off doing, we'll get back into the divisional breakdowns as of Friday. We've only got 2 divisions left to go. We have the Central Division and the North Division. If you would like to hear my takes on the West and the East, they are on prior episodes if you want to go back and take a listen to those. But starting tomorrow, we'll start breaking down the Central Division and go through the first couple of teams there. And then by the time it works out, I will have covered all of the teams right as the NHL season gets underway as of January 13th. But, you know, we got to start with, there's a bunch of news, bunch of signings. So I want to get started with this. And every now and then you relearn a lesson that you've already known, but you kind of get reminded of it. And the reminder for me is that hockey Twitter is it can be a very harsh place at times. You got to make sure you watch what you say. You have to understand what you're saying and how people will interpret it. And, you know, I had some fun with it the other day. So the Montreal Canadiens signed Corey Perry to a 1-year contract worth $750,000. And it was funny because I posted on the Second Thoughts podcast page the signing of Corey Perry, and I said it was actually kind of a great fit. 1 year, $750K for Corey Perry to the Habs. Do you agree? And I went on Twitter afterwards, and a lot of people on Twitter were talking about the fact that, you know, the Habs are looking as dangerous as ever, and they're going to be a contender to not only win the division, but make a deep run into the postseason. And, you know, I had some fun with it because, you know, I happen to be a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. So I tweeted, so the Habs sign, and this was probably my mistake, almost 40-year-old fourth liner Corey Perry. Trade away Max Domi, and they're contenders for the Cup. Leafs signed Thornton and bulk up their defense, and people are joking about it being 2009 again. And I get the universal Leaf hate, but we got to use our brains a little bit. And so then I added onto the tweet, and I said, yes, they also signed Toffoli and Anderson, got a backup goaltender. But contenders, question mark? I said, we're better than that. And oh boy, did the hate come out on me. And, you know, I can take a hit. I can take more than one hit. Got a lot of people commenting on the math is hard. You know, I got the it's not 2009 again. And then people, you know, missing the second half of my tweet. And the point of me saying this, because again, if you go to the Second Thoughts Podcast Instagram page, when I made the Corey Perry and I posted it on the page, I said it's actually kind of a great fit here. But the point that I was trying to make was of everything that Montreal has done this offseason, why was it the Corey Perry signing that I was seeing the most, you know, the most applause for? Why was that the one that put it over the top? Because yes, someone then commented saying, added elements to the Montreal Canadiens organization. Josh Anderson, Jake Allen, Joel Edmondson, Alexander Romanoff, Tyler Toffoli, Michael Frolik, Corey Perry. The only one out is Max Domi, and they've also made extensions to other players, including Brendan Gallagher and Jeff Petrie. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that the Habs got better this year. I really do, right? But why was Corey Perry the one that put it over the edge? Because funny enough, I actually really like what Corey Perry brings to this organization. Montreal last year was known as a team that, you know, you were able to push around a little bit with smaller players like Jonathan Drouin, and yes, Max Domi, and young guys like Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki. And, you know, Brendan Gallagher is an incredibly tough and durable player, but he is on the smaller side. So they went out and they signed and they traded away Max Domi and they brought in Josh Anderson and they signed Corey Perry and, you know, they extended Jeff Petrie and they still have Shea Weber on the back end and, you know, they're trying to be bigger and tougher and stronger and Tyler Toffoli's more of a power forward. The point I was going with the tweet was, why was Corey Perry the player that put it over the edge? Maybe Corey Perry has a pretty good year this year, but Corey Perry last year, right? 57 regular season games. He's 35. Next year will be 36 years of age. Scored 5 goals last year. 5 goals, 16 assists for 21 points. To put it in perspective, when they went to the playoffs, in less than half the games, Corey Perry scored 5 goals. He added on 4 assists in the playoffs as well. I get that he is more of a playoff player for them if they are thinking about it. And then I got some messages too about the fact that, you know, I do some work for the London Knights organization and there was a lack of respect, in quotes, for Corey Perry and for Josh Anderson and whatnot. I understand that Corey Perry has been one of the greatest goal scorers on the wing for the better part of a decade. I understand that he has won a Rocket Richard, has scored 50 plus goals in a season before, is a Stanley Cup champion. But he is on the back nine of his career, and he's probably at hole 15 or 16 right now. He's 35, like I said, will be 36 years of age. I know the joke was he's almost 40, but, you know, he's closer to 40 than he is to 30. I will say that right now. And for a goal scorer that you are bringing in to add a little bit of toughness, to have 5 goals this past year, that's all I'm saying. I would be more thrilled, I'd be more ecstatic, I'd be more pumped about the fact that you were able to bring in a guy like Tyler Toffoli, who for the most part of the offseason was thought to going to be staying in Vancouver. He finds his way over to Montreal. Because your right side now consists of Brendan Gallagher, Tyler Toffoli, Josh Anderson, and Corey Perry. Very strong right side. Right? Up the middle, you've got Kotkaniemi, you've got Suzuki, you've got Deneau, who Deneau, by the way, I think is one of the best third-line centers in hockey. The only point I was trying to come across here was I feel like people were more pumped about them signing Corey Perry than they were about Tyler Toffoli. That was the argument I was trying to make. But the lesson here today is hockey Twitter is a very harsh environment, and sometimes people take it a little bit too far. It's not going to stop me from tweeting. But, you know, it's very interesting to see how people get on you the way they interpret something differently in their minds from how you are actually trying to send the message off. But nevertheless, my thoughts here, with everything else going on, is like I said, I think Corey Perry is a fine fit for the Montreal Canadiens. He is at a great price tag of $750,000. He's only there for a season. He's a guy that's going to play in your bottom six, maybe plays on your second power play unit as a guy who sits in front of the net, maybe still has a pretty solid shot. And I actually think he's going to add an element of toughness to this team, which is clearly what they are trying to do. A lot of teams just watched, you know, Tampa Bay add some toughness with Barclay Goodrow and Zach Bogosian and, you know, some bigger guys on your bottom half of your lineup. and saw it work. It worked the year prior with the St. Louis Blues and having Patrick Maroon up there. And it worked before when you watched the Washington Capitals bully teams when they had Tom Wilson and a bunch of other, like Devontae Smith-Pelly and some other guys who were Bruins. Teams have watched for years the Boston Bruins bully teams into submission with some size and strength in the bottom half, sometimes top half of their lineups. Calgary and Edmonton have been trying to do the same thing when they brought on a guy like Milan Lucic. And, you know, the toughness element is clearly something, as much as analytics probably aren't thrilled with some of these players, but that toughness element is needed to go far in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as evidenced by Corey Perry going on a run with the Dallas Stars. Obviously, there's a lot more that transpires into you going far, but I actually like the fit Corey Perry there with the Montreal Canadiens. Am I going to sit here and take back the fact that I think that Columbus won the trade between Max Domi and Josh Anderson? No. But sometimes you need to trade away players in order to gain something that you are lacking in your lineup. And I think for them, they saw and looked, said, we already have a guy in Jonathan Drouin. We've got Kotkaniemi. We've got Suzuki. We've got these high-end skill players that I think Max Domi is, and we need a little bit more size and toughness. Josh Anderson had been on the block for some time, and unfortunately, due to his injuries, it made it a little bit harder for him to be dealt, and they came to an agreement with the team and got a player back in return that Columbus thinks is going to make their team better. I think that. I think Max Domi is going to be a phenomenal fit for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think he is a heart and soul player, a guy who you cannot tell his elements to, in terms of a coaching standpoint. But Montreal wanted to get bigger. They wanted to get nastier. They wanted to get meaner. And they're not the only team that wanted to do that this offseason. The only thing I was trying to get across was, it's like when a team goes into the postseason and, you know, analysts are saying all they need is a fourth line center and then they're really solidified. Like, yes, Tampa Bay last offseason went out and they traded a first-round pick for Barkley Goodrow, and they signed Blake Coleman, and they got Zach Bogosian, all guys who played in the bottom halves of their lineups. Did they contribute to an extent? Yes. But were they going to win without those... Could they have won, without those players in their lineup? It's probably a good chance. Why? Because their horses carried them. Braden Point emerged as an elite superstar in the postseason without their captain, Steven Stamkos. Victor Hedman won the Conn Smythe Trophy because he's an animal on the back end. Nikita Kucherov was doing Nikita Kucherov things. Like, your horse has got to carry you, but role players have to play a part in you getting there as well. And I think that that's what Corey Perry is going to do. But to say that Corey Perry is the reason that this team will get over the tipping point and win the division and make that deep playoff run, the deep playoff run is going to come from an abundance of players. I think it's going to stem from more the development of your younger players in Kotkaniemi and Suzuki. I think it's going to be in Jonathan Drouin getting back to, you know, the player that, you know, he was thought of coming up from junior. I think it's going to come from the additions of Tyler Toffoli, and if he can score 20 goals, if Josh Anderson can bounce back and get to that, you know, 20 to 25 goal pace he's so known for, Corey Perry will help. But is he going to be the reason? No, I think the main reason for Montreal will be the pieces in front of them, but mainly their goaltending. And if Carey Price can play at that elite Carey Price level, anything is possible for this roster. But the finishing statement on this is that I like Corey Perry as a fit in Montreal. I think it's a great signing there. He is the player. You heard earlier that Montreal was in the running for Wayne Simmonds. They had actually offered him a contract as well. Wayne Simmonds chose a little bit less money to join Toronto. That is from multiple sources. Montreal plays the waiting game a little bit. They go out and they get their version of Wayne Simmonds in a guy in Corey Perry. They spend a little bit less money on him. It all works out. At the end of the day, both of these teams have upgraded this offseason. The Canadian division is going to be exciting enough as it is, but when teams are competitive and they're battling 10 times in the regular season, it is going to be a lot of fun for a rivalry to finally come up out of the sparks again and be alive and well. And honestly, that's kind of the best thing we can take from this, is that both teams have made signings for players and are gunning for an opportunity to play in the postseason. It's going to be a lot of fun, that all-Canadian division. We'll get back into the signings a little bit later on, but one story I did want to get to that's fresh this morning comes from the Chicago Blackhawks, and some tough news for Captain Jonathan Toews as he is set to miss the start of the upcoming season due to an illness, and there is no timetable for his return. He said, quote, "This offseason, I've been experiencing symptoms that have left me feeling drained and lethargic. I am working with doctors so I can better understand my condition," quote. "Until I can get my health back to a place where I feel I can perform at an elite level and help my team, I will not be joining the Blackhawks for training camp. I do not have a timetable for when I will rejoin the team. I am extremely disappointed, but it wouldn't be fair to myself or for my teammates to attempt to play in my current condition." So Jonathan Toews last year, after a couple years of, you know, falling back a little bit, really upped his play and was back to that, captain elite level playing. He had 60 points in 70 games. He was 15th in Selke Trophy voting. He had 5 goals and 4 assists in 9 postseason games. He really came back into his own. But this is a tough story. And, you know, this is difficult because this was a personal decision. He could have made the decision to push forward and try to fight through and not play at 100%, but I think with COVID and with, you know, so much uncertainty going on in this shortened season, you know, Toews just didn't feel it was necessary and appropriate for him to force himself and possibly put others in harm's way in playing, at least at the beginning of the season. Now, that's not the only tough news story for Chicago, is, you know, the depth has really been hurt because, of course, Kirby Dach is expected to miss the first 4 to 5 months after undergoing wrist surgery to repair some damage that was done on his wrist during the World Junior Hockey Championships, one and only preseason game. Chicago's in a tough situation because they were already a team. And I talked about this with Mike Stubbs on Friday nights over on 980 CFPL News. You know, and Chicago is one of those intriguing teams where, you know, if they get some guys that step up in a big way, if some of those veterans kind of bounce back a little bit and their younger guys like Dylan Strome and Kirby Dach take that next step, you know, they could be a surprise team this year. But now you don't have your captain, Jonathan Toews. You don't have your young phenom center in Kirby Dach, who looked like he was going to be an absolute bulldozer at the World Junior Hockey Championships. And, you know, Dylan Strome, who's kind of the only guy left, who is also an unsigned restricted free agent right now. He is going to be projected as the team's top center. Now, we'll get to this a little bit later on, but they've made other additions, including signing Carl Soderberg and Lucas Wallmark. But, you know, when you don't have Jonathan Toews and Kirby Dach to start your season, it makes things a little bit complicated. But if there is a year that it's going to happen, it's the COVID-shortened, uncertain 56-game season in 2021. It's one that the cap's not going up. There is an expansion draft coming. You're in an incredibly tough division with a lot of teams who are poised to do better and bigger things this year. If you are a Chicago fan and, you know, you were hyped about this season and you had all of these question marks, but these, you know, signs of optimism, you know, you can look at the positives and you can look at the fact that, you know, a lot of your younger guys are going to get shots. You're going to have Alex DeBrincat play a lot more. Dylan Strome is really going to have a chance to show what he is. Adam Boqvist on the back end, right-hand shot defenseman, is an incredibly talented defenseman who I think is going to get a lot of playing time this year and hopefully will be able to take a step or two forward. You've got a couple of other guys in your system as well. Worst case scenario, the season doesn't go the way you were hoping or anticipating it to go. You get a couple higher draft picks, you restock your farm system, and then you look ahead to the full 82-game season, which will come the following year. Maybe you can protect a couple of other players for the expansion draft and maybe don't get hit as hard as some teams are going to, but all in all, tough news to hear from the Chicago Blackhawks end with Dach and with Jonathan Toews. But hopefully you can see the positives from this and try to get as much out of the season as you possibly can. Let's move on to the defending Stanley Cup champions. And, you know, when you win a championship, when you have a loaded roster and you try to keep the core together, you know, you need to make sacrifices sometimes. And, you know, in order to do that, the Tampa Bay Lightning made some sacrifices. But before doing so, They inked forward Anthony Cirelli to a 3-year contract with an annual average value of $4.8 million. Cirelli was a 6-foot pivot. He had 16 goals and a career-high 28 assists and 44 points through 68 games this past season. He was, the big restricted free agent, or one of the big restricted free agents that Tampa Bay had to figure out how to sign. Mikhail Sergachev was another one that they had to figure out. He's 23 years of age. He has quickly established himself as one of the top two-way forwards in the league. He took a huge step this past season. He's probably going to, continue that trend into next year. And, he continues to be Tampa Bay continues to be this team that, gets it done, regardless of, the obstacles that they have in front of them. The management team in Tampa has done a remarkable job at keeping their superstars, having to, maybe get rid of some tougher contracts and say bye to players that, they are really fond of. But, that's the price that you have to pay if you want to sign guys like Cirelli. Now, something you may not have known about Anthony Cirelli this past season, and I didn't up until a few days ago, is that Anthony Cirelli finished fourth in Selke Trophy voting after driving play at both ends of the ice. They have his Corsi numbers, not just from last season, but over the last 3 seasons. He is one of the best players in regards to keeping the puck out of your net and driving play towards opposing nets. And, he has been, a really underrated player up until his breakthrough this past season. And, a guy that's going to be a big part of, Tampa Bay's, run to go back-to-back and to defend their title. And, I think Tampa Bay is one of those teams that benefits from the tax situation of players not paying taxes there. So, they can sign him to a little bit cheaper contracts. They can keep some of their guys, but they are up against it, and they had to make some moves in order to make this situation work out, and we'll go over one of those moves right now. And funny enough, the moves included the Ottawa Senators. The Ottawa Senators are a team that really looked, and over the last couple days have taken advantage of some teams' cap situations and really made some nice trades. So Tampa makes a trade with the Ottawa Senators, as Tampa Bay trades defenseman Braden Coburn, forward Cedric Paquette, a guy who they also really liked, and a 2022 second-round pick in exchange for goaltender Anders Nielsen and forward Marian Gaborik. Now, the caveat on this trade is the fact that both Nielsen and Gaborik will start and probably finish the season on LTIR. And the reason for that, A, due to their injuries, but the reason that Tampa makes this trade is so that they have the cap room to keep everybody under it and sign Anthony Cirelli. Now, it's a tough story with Anders Nielsen. He made 19 starts for the Sens this past season. He had a .908 save percentage. He has been dealing with concussion issues for several months, the better part of the year, and it was deemed unfit to play heading into the season. But with the cap hit, Tampa Bay was able to take it, throw it on LTIR, and then have the room to sign Cirelli. Same thing with Gaborik. He has not actually played a game in 2 seasons. Back in 2017-2018, he will be stashed on LTIR. He, 38-year-old former All-Star. He's got 1 year left on his contract at $4.875 million. But like I said, LTIR, room to be able to bring up Anthony Cirelli, get him signed to the roster and play. Now, Braden Coburn, a guy that the Senators went out and acquired. This past season, played 40 games, playing about 14 minutes of contest, a solid depth piece in an NHLer. This was mainly for the draft pick, but you got another body on that back end to make things a little bit tougher for oppositions. Cedric Paquette, a physical bottom six center. He had 18 regular season points this past season. He had 3 more with the Tampa Bay Lightning en route to their Stanley Cup championship. This is a good deal for both teams. Ottawa, a team that, Tampa could offload a couple of contracts to and afford to give a second round pick to. And Tampa Bay, a team in desperate need of fitting some salaries under the cap and are able to put a couple of guys on LTIR. They are one of the few teams this upcoming season that has the luxury of doing so. And Ottawa finds a really good trade partner there, and they get a couple of players. They get a second round pick. I think, in all honesty, it's a good deal for both teams. Tampa Bay is just absolutely loaded from top to bottom. So, having to lose Coburn and Paquette is necessary when you are adding on and bringing back an Anthony Cirelli, a Mikhail Sergachev, and keeping that core group together. And let's stick with the Ottawa Senators here, who were able to make another trade with the team who's kind of up against the cap, the Arizona Coyotes, as they traded center Derek Stefan to the Ottawa Senators in exchange for a 2021 second round draft choice. Now, Derek Stefan is 30 years of age. He's in the final season of his contract, which carries a $6.5 million cap hit. He's only owed, though, $2 million in base salary. So Derek Stefan of the Ottawa Senators. Stefan was once, you know, one of the more steady offensive producers in the NHL. Over his first eight NHL seasons, he averaged 57 points per 82 games. Unfortunately, though, his production has tailed off in the last couple of years. He had 35 points a couple years ago and just 28 in 70 games this past season. However, the way that the Ottawa Senators forward group looks, he very well may have to step in and serve as Ottawa's number one center, at least for this team's, you know, upcoming season. Their other options down the middle are Colin White, Chris Tierney, Artem Anisimov, Logan Brown, Josh Norris, and Nick Paul. A lot of younger players, you know, Artem Anisimov being one of the, you know, more veteran presences who could be in that top six role. Colin White is a guy who they're really hoping develops. Same thing with Logan Brown. You know, when Ottawa gives a second round pick and then they get a second round pick and, you know, they keep adding, you know, NHL caliber players to their roster. So I do think that Ottawa is going to still have a tough time this coming season with, you know, the teams that are also in the division, like the Canadiens, like the Calgary Flames, like the Edmonton Oilers, like the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I will give them this. They are making themselves competitive while adding draft picks to their roster. You know, this past draft as well, they were able to, you know, acquire Tim Stutzel at the for third overall. And, you know, they're a team that's, you know, as much as, you know, people, you know, poked fun at them and made fun of, you know, the lack of the, you know, the general manager and the leadership core of this team, they are doing some, you know, some quiet, nice things. They've got Evgeny Dadonov. They signed Matt Murray in the offseason. You've got some other younger players that are coming up through the roster. I mean, you know, this coming season might be still tough because of the youth of some of this team. But, you know, don't be surprised in a couple years if Ottawa comes knocking on the door again and starts making some noise. But, you know, some good moves for Ottawa. They are able to offload a couple of guys for LTIR. As you know, Ottawa's not a team that can afford to pay two players, you know, multiple million dollars in Gabrick and Nielsen on LTIR. So they were able to offload those guys, acquire some players that are actually going to play, pick up a second round pick, get rid of a second round pick, but then acquire another centerman. I mean, I actually do like what Ottawa's doing over these last couple of days this past week. And, you know, they're starting to make some noise here. So good on them. Now, I want to get to this signing here, and it's not even necessarily a signing, but this, once you kind of heard about it, all seemed to make so much sense. You know, the St. Louis Blues this past season played the majority, if not their entire season, without winger and, you know, 40-goal scorer Vladimir Tarasenko. And Tarasenko, again, is dealing with some injuries right now. They're unsure if he's going to start the regular season with the club. So St. Louis went out and signed Mike Hoffman to a professional tryout, the team announced a couple of days ago. Mike Hoffman was one of the top free agent goal scorers remaining in free agency. He is set to join the club at the beginning of January 3rd, and he is still eligible to link a new deal with them or with any team while signed to the PTO. So this was Mike Hoffman from The Athletic. I'm extremely thrilled to have the opportunity to become a member of the St. Louis Blues. I've heard nothing but pleasant things about this team and organization. One of the top priorities coming into the summer as an unrestricted free agent was to join a team that has a powerful ability to contend and win the Stanley Cup, as they just demonstrated a couple of years ago. So the Blues right now, by the way, once I saw this fit, it made all the sense in the world. So right now, the Blues, who are currently over the $81.5 million salary threshold, they can put both Alex Steen's $5.75 million and Vladimir Tarasenko's $7.5 million caps on LTIR once the regular season begins, theoretically freeing up the money to sign Mike Hoffman. Alex Steen officially retired, and like I said, Tarasenko underwent his third shoulder surgery this offseason. He is still recovering. Now, they might probably still have to sign restricted free agent defenseman Vince Dunn too, but adding Mike Hoffman to a PTO is probably one of the smartest things that they could have done. And once those LTIR contracts come into effect, they can properly sign Hoffman. Now, his last deal paid him about $5.187 million per season. You know, he's probably going to sign for a little bit less just with the COVID situation and player signing for a little bit less. But this past season, Mike Hoffman, 69 games, 29 goals, 30 assists with the Florida Panthers, 59 points. He is as steady and reliable a goal scorer, you know, you could possibly imagine. And the fact that he's been sitting here for so long was A, surprising, but B, you know, understandable because of the cap that he was going to command. So a lot of teams just sat back and said, you know what? I'm not going to overpay for this guy. We're going to try and get a couple other players on some bargain deals. We saw a lot of teams do that. But Mike Hoffman now goes in. No one thought that Mike Hoffman was going to sign a professional tryout. I mean, at least I didn't. I don't know if you were aware that Mike Hoffman, the top goal scorer in the free agent class, was going to sign a PTO, not a guaranteed contract. I assume that he will sign with St. Louis. It's just a matter of, you know, filling out the paperwork and putting some other players on LTIR to free up the space to do so. I can see Hoffman getting anywhere from $3 to $4 million is what I was seeing, from experts and people posting about it in articles. But it's a perfect fit because you lose a guy like Alex Steen, who's a 20-25 goal scorer. You lose Vladimir Tarasenko for I don't know how long, who scores anywhere from 30 to 40 goals on any given year. And you replace him with a cheaper version in Mike Hoffman, who's almost a lock to get you 25 plus goals in a full 82 game season. Now, shortened season, who knows what he gets, but I think it's a very nice natural fit. I saw someone post saying, imagine Mike Hoffman and Ryan O'Reilly with maybe David Perron on a line together. That's going to be scary stuff. I think Hoffman is a great fit there. The culture is very good in St. Louis. Yes, they lost Pietrangelo, but they were able to bring in Torrey Krug. You've still got Colton Parenko on the back end. Jordan Binnington is still a young, promising goaltender coming into his own. Mike Hoffman of St. Louis, for some reason, just makes all the sense in the world and seems to be a fantastic fit. Major applause to St. Louis for being able to sign him to that PTO. And if they can get him locked into a full contract, it's probably one of the best ones that are signed this offseason. Now, as we continue to go down the plethora of news stories that we got during the holiday break, we got another tough one out of the Washington Capitals camp as goaltender Henrik Lundqvist is scheduled for open heart surgery, he revealed in a post yesterday. Lundqvist is set to go an aortic valve replacement. I've been watching a little Grey's Anatomy, so I know the aortic valve replacement surgery, as well as an aortic root and ascending aortic replacement. So earlier this month, Lundqvist announced that he would not be playing in the upcoming season due to a heart condition. He went to get second opinions, and doctors just advise him, listen, sit out the campaign. He went over weeks of testing to multiple doctors. You know, it was a very, very heartfelt post from Henrik Lundqvist stating how devastated he was. But again, when he first said that he was going to opt out of the season, the amount of support and overwhelming positive response that Henrik Lundqvist got was as deserving as can possibly imagine, but it was incredible to see both from former teams that he had played with, teams that play against him, that they're going to miss that competitive spirit. And, you know, the Battle of New York with the Islanders is not going to be the same without him. It's a really tough spot for Henrik Lundqvist to be in. Obviously, making the right decision and not playing due to the fact that he's going to have open heart surgery. But he's 38 years of age. If he has a chance to come back this next season, he'll be 39, clearly more of a backup or 1B role. But if we do get to see him once again, it will be an absolute treat. If we don't, though, it was, he has had in a remarkable career. He played 15 seasons in New York for the Rangers. He was bought out before this upcoming season in September. Just to put it into perspective, he is sixth all-time in the NHL goaltending wins list, holds a franchise record for the New York Rangers, a long-standing organization in games played, victories, and shutouts. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer in my eyes, even though he didn't win a Stanley Cup. He is one of the most respected and well sought after goaltenders that has ever played the game. And, you know, prayers up to a guy like that who, you know, went to a team in Washington where he wanted to chase his dream of winning a Stanley Cup, where he understood his role and knew he was probably going to take a bit of a back seat than what he's normally accustomed to. And I am really praying that this is not the last that we've seen of Henrik Lundqvist. And I'm really hoping he gets back to it, next season at the age of 39. Maybe has one last ride at the Stanley Cup. But, I mean, if he does, if this is the last we've seen of him, you know, his numbers, I think, automatically put him in that Hall of Fame category. And, you know, will be remembered as one of the best to have ever done it. And looking at this, the best to ever do it in New York. All right, and let's finish up with a couple other news and notes around the National Hockey League, and let's start with the Edmonton Oilers as they re-signed restricted free agent Ethan Bear to a two-year contract worth $4 million. Ethan Bear was a very reliable option for the Oilers on the blue line this past season. He averaged over 21 minutes on ice, playing in 71 games, tallying 21 points as well. He was born and raised in Saskatchewan. He's a fifth-round pick from Edmonton in 2015. He has really come into his own. He's only 23 years of age too, so you have to remember that, and he is going to be a very significant player for this team, specifically with injuries to Oscar Klefbom, Darnell Nurse, Tyson Barrie, and Bear figuring to be some of the more relied upon defensemen for this team. But good re-signing, solid contract, more of a bridge deal for them, but otherwise a good move on him. And, you know, the PTOs are starting to come out as the NHL has kind of identified when the training camps are going to begin again. And Buffalo got in on that as they signed center Riley Sheahan to professional tryout. 29 years of age, he had 15 points in 66 games with the Edmonton Oilers this past season. He has spent part of seasons with Detroit, Pittsburgh, Florida. The team expects, you know, guys like Jack Eichel, Eric Staal, and, you know, a lot of guys are going to be helping out down the middle. Sheahan could be in a competition with Curtis Lazar for the fourth line center role. You've also got to remember too that Casey Mittelstadt, Dylan Cousins, who's playing over at the World Junior Hockey Championships right now, they are also in the mix. But, you know, this is why you sign guys to PTOs. You give them an opportunity to maybe showcase what they've got. Maybe they surprise you. Maybe they make the opening day roster. The LA Kings also getting involved in the signings as they inked forward Andreas Anthonisiou to a one-year $1.2 million contract. If you remember this past season, he was traded to the Edmonton Oilers from the Detroit Red Wings. Now, some analytical numbers came up for Anthonisiou this past year, and they were not fantastic by any means, but nevertheless, still only 26. He had 11 goals, 15 assists for 26 points in 55 games. The majority of it he spent over in Detroit. He did fail to record a point in the four playoff games in the play-in round with the Edmonton Oilers, but maybe a fresh start with a different team and an organization looking to get younger, looking to retool, and maybe looking to rebuild as well. Maybe he gets in and plays some top 6 minutes with guys like Anze Kopitar. Maybe he comes back into his own. Over the entirety of his career, he has 83 goals, 71 assists in 294 regular season games with the Detroit Red Wings. It's only $1.2 million. He joins a team that had a little bit of cap space to sign him. Maybe he reinvigorates his career, gets back to where he was playing a few years back. And, you know, maybe it's a good signing. It's kind of a low-risk, high-reward one for the LA Kings. And at this point with the Kings, too, with, you know, all the question marks that they have with their organization, you know, I don't think really they have anything to lose with this. So I don't mind it by any means stretch. Hopefully he's able to kind of regain his form. And in the waking news of Henrik Lundqvist opting out for the season, the Washington Capitals signed veteran goaltender Craig Anderson to a professional tryout that was announced a couple of days ago. He was an unrestricted free agent. He is going to be headed over to DC after spending the last 10 years with the Ottawa Senators. Now, this past year, a tougher season for him, 34 games. He posted a .902 save percentage. You know, this is the move that seemed to make the most sense for the Washington Capitals, as goalie Ilya Samsonov is probably going to be Washington's number one goaltender, but they were looking for a little bit more of a reliable backup goaltender. It's going to go between Anderson and Vitek Vanacek. But it's crazy when you look at it. Craig Anderson is the Senators' all-time leader in games played by a goaltender by a wide margin. The next closest goaltender, he played in 435 games. The next closest is Patrick Laliem at 283. He's also tied with Robin Lehner for the franchise's all-time best save percentage with a .914 save percentage. Ottawa going out and acquiring Matt Murray obviously meant the end of Craig Anderson's time in Ottawa, but, you know, he's going to have an opportunity to go in with the Washington Capitals, battle for that backup position, maybe get a few starts in. This season is going to be very condensed, so, you know, they could be seeing a lot more of Craig Anderson than a lot of people anticipated. You know, Ilya Samsonov, who was great this past season, you know, hasn't taken on yet the full workload of a number one starting goaltender, and I think that having that backup veteran presence there is going to be a nice thing, not just for the organization, but I honestly think for Samsonov as well, to be able to know he's got that, you know, security blanket behind him, to know that if he doesn't play well, they have a guy who's going to come in. He's not going to feel bad thinking that Anderson's going to take his job, because clearly, you know, Samsonov is the goalie of the future for the Caps. But a nice move there, and, you know, hopefully he's able to have an opportunity to earn a spot on this team and play for a Stanley Cup. Quickly here, Ilya Kovalchuk's time in the NHL is officially done. He inked a 2-year deal with the KHL's Enviskard Omsk. He announced a couple of days ago, 37 years of age. He was back in the NHL for a couple of seasons, playing with the Kings, with the Montreal Canadiens, and with the Washington Capitals. Definitely a roller coaster of a ride for Kovalchuk in his three seasons, but, you know, it was always fun getting a chance to see him back in the National Hockey League. Had a couple tries to make a run at the Stanley Cup, but it looks like he's going to go over and finish off his career in Russia. Blackhawks, like I mentioned earlier, signing center Carl Soderberg to a 1-year, $1 million contract. Of course, this coming on the news, the fact that both Kirby Dach and Jonathan Toews will miss the start of the regular season with the team. Kirby Dach, the more significant one, out for 4 to 5 months. Columbus Blue Jackets signing defenseman Michael Delzato to PTO as well. He had 15 points in 49 games with the Anaheim Ducks this past season. And lastly, forward and former NHLer Mark Letestu has called it a career after 11 seasons in the National Hockey League. He played 7 seasons with the Winnipeg Jets, broke into the NHL as an undrafted forward with the Pittsburgh Penguins during the 09-10 season. He also played some time with the Edmonton Oilers as well. He finishes his career with 210 points in 567 games over 11 years. That is it for episode 35. Like I mentioned at the start of the episode, we will get back into the divisional breakdowns on Friday. We have 2 more divisions to go, and then right around the corner, the regular season is up and ready to go. I can't wait for it. Hockey news is starting to come back into some sort of normalcy and regularity. And the lesson I learned from the break is watch what you say on Twitter, because anything can and will be used against you, even if you are just trying to spark some sort of conversation. That is it. Make sure you follow along to the Second Thoughts podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, on Instagram and Twitter at Second Thoughts P. It's going to be a good one as we get back into it on Friday. Until then, that's a wrap.